Who are we? As followers of Christ, how do we refer to ourselves or others who follow him? The podcast I'm offering today is probably going to be of greatest interest for insiders, for people who are familiar with the scriptures and have been Christians for a little while. My wife and I are members of the Botanical Gardens in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. It's beautiful. We meet, run into other people who are admiring the plants, the trees, the flowers, the many exhibits. We also see the employees. If we're talking to someone who says, "I'm the gardener," that's a fairly simple explanation. In fact, I might say, such a huge place, there must be multiple gardeners. But what if he referred to himself as a landscape architect? Well, he's still a gardener, but boy, that has a different connotation. Or maybe he simply says, "As you can see, my friends, I am an artist." They can all be right, but the term that's used tells us something about that person. Maybe you're walking amidst the skyscrapers of your city. Maybe you don't live in a city. It still works. And you're admiring a certain building, and you meet someone coming out carrying a clipboard, maybe wearing a hard hat, and you say, Do you work here? And the person says, "Yes, I'm an engineer." But she could have said, I build buildings. I'm in construction. Or what if she said, "I'm a city planner"? The answer that is given tells us something about that person. So it is with terms for Christians. I've got a quick self-test for you. Four terms: Christian, disciple, brother, and saint. Or Christian, disciple, sister, and saint, right? It's the same. Please rank those terms in the order in which you use them when referring to yourself. You know, if someone asks me about my faith, I usually say I'm a Christian. What do you say? What's the most common term? Christian, disciple, brother, sister, saint. Well, many people would actually use the terms in that very order. Christian, they might say disciple. Brother, sure. Saint, not so much. But as we'll see in the New Testament, the order is the exact opposite. Saint's the most common term, then brother, sister, and then disciple or student, and Christian is one of the very rare terms. So what's going on here? Well, I want to find out. Now, we're not going to have time to look at descriptions of Christ followers like child of God or soldier of Christ, because these aren't really terms of address, they're just descriptions. Our focus is going to be on biblical terms, not figurative language, but standard ways of referring to the Christians. Now, let's look at a number quite quickly, so hold on. Number one, Nazarene. When I say number one, it's actually, as you'll see, it's actually number seven. It's the one that's least common. That only appears once in the Bible in Acts 24:5, where Paul is being accused of being the ringleader of a sect of Nazarenes. Well, that word Nazarene is found 14 times in the New Testament, but the other 13 times it speaks of Jesus. Jesus was from Nazareth, and there is a connection between Nazarene and the Messiah, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But it's a very unusual term, and unless you're talking to someone from the Church of the Nazarene, you may never even hear it. Slightly more common, because it happens twice, is the word friend, which clearly emphasizes companionship. If Nazarene emphasizes the humble origins of the faith, Jesus coming from an insignificant city, although he lived a highly significant life, friend refers to companionship. In 3 John 14, the writer asks for greetings to be given to the friends. It's not a very common word. It's a preferred term among Quakers, but I don't think I've ever heard Christians refer to themselves that way. Then number three would be Christian. Now, this term shows up three times in the New Testament. It's once in 1 Peter and twice in Acts. We read that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And I suppose I would say the connotation is that this is someone connected with the way of Christ. Christians didn't make up that term. That term was apparently invented by non-Christians, simply to identify the sect that these people were involved in. Well, those three terms are quite rare, and I'm not saying that means we should ignore them, but just keep in mind they are rare: Nazarene, friend, and Christian. Let's talk about the more common words. These are believer, student, brother, or holy person. But what about believer? This shows up a dozen times in the New Testament. You can find descriptions of people coming to faith. You'll find the word faith and belief in different places. But believer, I just found 12 times. Just as an easy example, in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, we read, "All the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number." So belief is telling us a couple of things. It's telling us about the worldview, that is, someone believes certain fundamental facts about Christ are true, and this shapes his or her lifestyle and thinking. It also tells us about allegiance. Belief and faith, the same word in the Greek New Testament, have been so watered down today, we don't really get it. When they said Caesar is Lord, they expected unquestioned obedience. To say Jesus is Lord is to say no one comes before Jesus, not family, not the state. It's simply Jesus. So it's a very strong word, but it doesn't feel very strong because of these centuries of church tradition and in our society, so shaped as it is by what happened in the church through the ages. Number five is the term student or disciple. Now, this shows up more than 30 times. You may have heard that it shows up hundreds of times, but most of those references are to the 12 back in the Gospels when there was no Christianity technically, just Judaism. Now, the Gospels do anticipate Christianity. Don't get me wrong. We're to make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. We're to love each other as Jesus loved us, and then everyone will know we're his disciples and so forth. But the term shows up referring to Christians, that is, people who have the Holy Spirit, in the book of Acts, chapters 6 to 20. I love Acts 6:7. "The word of God kept on spreading. The number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." So this is a common word. It appears dozens of times, more than 30, and the word means apprentice or pupil or student. Like so many terms in the New Testament, this is normally just transliterated. In fact, this is like a double, it's double the distance from the original, because disciple is simply the transliteration of a Latin word, discipulus, which is a translation of the Greek mathetes, which means pupil or apprentice. So by tradition, we say disciple, but the connotation is that of being a lifelong learner. A pupil, an apprentice to Jesus, of course. Number six, brother or sister, brothers and sisters, shows up more than 50 times. So many places, I won't even quote them, but they're just everywhere. But the most common is not brethren or brothers and sisters or brother or sister. The most common is the term saint, holy person. Saint obscures it a bit. We could have done better with that because it has a certain meaning, like, you did a miracle, you're dead, you lived an almost perfect life, right? A saint. But it's actually the normal term used for Christians. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he writes to the saints, assuming not that they did miracles or lived perfect lives or were dead. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus." And that word saint has a connotation of purity and devotion. Now, there are some corporate terms. I thought of two. This would take us a little too far away from our topic, but I'm going to mention three because this may give you some ideas for your own Bible study. A fairly rare term is the term the way. Seven times, Christians are part of the way. And maybe that refers to John 14:6, Jesus is the way, or Matthew 7:14, the way is narrow. But the sense is that we're all on the same path. We're going in the same direction, but we haven't yet arrived. At least I'm adding that part in there. We're on the way, haven't yet arrived. Another term, the body of Christ, which emphasizes membership in the church, active relationships with others. It's organic. That term turns up eight times. And then by far the most common term is the term assembly, which is usually translated church, but ecclesia means assembly. More than 100 times. The point is, if it's an assembly, we need to be there. If we talk about the church, it might make us feel better if we weren't that involved. But it assumes, in fact, it doesn't work unless we're involved. Well, those are corporate terms. We're going to stick with the individual terms. Our preferred term reveals emphases, priorities in our lives, and the way we talk about ourselves and others may or may not be biblically balanced. Think about that. Again, you're standing outside the symphony hall, and someone comes out carrying a case. You think it might be a violin in there, but you're not sure. Maybe it's a viola. You think it's a little too small for a cello. And you say hello. And yes, indeed, she says, "I'm a violinist." Now, she could have said, "Yes, I'm in the orchestra. Did you enjoy the symphony? I'm a member of the orchestra." Or she could have just said, "Hello, you. Yes, I'm a musician. What do you guys do?" So again, we have choices about what we say. Well, I want to look at the seven terms for individuals that we mentioned in the first part of this podcast. And I want us to think about this before I challenge us to make use of the full panoply, all these great terms. Well, first there was Nazarene. Nazareth was an insignificant town, right? In the Arab world, Nasrani is the Arabic word for Christian. That's normally what they use, a Nazarene. So that term actually does show up. And in Isaiah 11:1, a netzer is a root or shoot. So the Messiah is the root or shoot of Jesse, the father of David. Jesus is the son of David, the descendant of David. Now, in the Middle East, Christians don't call themselves Nasrani, they call themselves Masihi. That's from the word Messiah. It means Christians, those who follow the Messiah. Well, that's one term we could use. In that sense, I guess you would say, I'm a Nazarene, I'm a friend. And if I use that term, I'm emphasizing that my relationships are in the Christian community. Not that I'm friendly to all mankind. That would not be the primary sense. Certainly, we need to have friends outside the body of Christ, but our primary relationships are inside. And then the third term is Christian, which suggests the imitation of Christ. We remind others of Christ. Again, that was a term conferred by the world on Christians. They didn't normally use it of themselves. Well, those are the rare terms, Nazarene, friend, Christian. How about believer? Well, that suggests allegiance, as I've mentioned. That's quite a strong word, although in modern society it's quite weak. Then there's the word student or disciple. Sad to say, I think so many evangelicals are off track. When I was an evangelical, I was asked, they said, "Well, you've been born again now. You've said this prayer. And if you'd like to become a disciple someday, we have this class you can come to." In fact, I remember it was being offered about 4 months after I had my born-again experience. It was clearly taught that all disciples are Christians, but not all Christians are disciples. That's wrong. We've got to keep it together. At the same time, we need to be a little bit more sensitive, because the early Christians didn't use the word disciple very often. And as I mentioned, in the New Testament, while it's used of Christians in the book of Acts around 30 times, it's used in none of the letters or Revelation. That is, the last time you read about it is in Acts chapter 20. Why didn't they use it? I don't really know. But maybe in part because being a disciple is a learning process. John 15:8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Many versions say, "Prove or show yourself to be my disciples," but that's actually not what it says. It says, "Become my disciples." So we can become something even though we've already become it. Okay, I've been a husband and a father for many years. Now, I became a husband back in 1985, became a father in 1988. But, you know, I'm still becoming a husband and trying to be a better father. So it's that process that is significant. Disciples of Jesus, just one other quick comment, follow him, not somebody else. So only once in the entire New Testament do we find a phrase that suggests that disciples follow a human being, someone down here on the earth. That's in Acts 9:25, which refers to Paul's disciples. But every other time, the implication is disciples of Jesus. So he's the one who's controlling us. We're not being managed by human leaders. Then the term brother, which implies family loyalty, although I find it very useful and I can't remember the person's name. Yes, brother or sister, I appreciate your input. But it is a great word. It reminds us that our primary identity is in Christ, even above our own family. And then the most common term, holy person or saint, which suggests rejection of the world, purity, holiness. And this is a huge weakness in most Bible-centered churches. It's a major issue in my own group. We're just not that holy. I'm wondering why that is. Maybe the simplest solution is that the world has encroached on the church. 1 John 2:15 to 17. It's the world and the lust for things, for honor, for comfort. And really, you could boil it down by the phrase, the pursuit of happiness, which is not the same thing as the pursuit of holiness. And the second most common term, brother or sister, maybe we don't use that quite as much because we're becoming more individualistic. There's a declining commitment to the body of Christ. And when you get reminders that, hey, this is your brother, this is your sister, then you think, okay, I guess I should be there for that person, or I should show up to that midweek service. I should be in that small group. But in an increasingly individualistic world, it's really all about me. Time to wrap it up. We looked at 10 terms. Well, just 7 terms for Christians as individuals, as the people of God. Now, you may come across more. I tried hard, but I may have left some things out. Email me. Let me know. I can always update the notes. But which terms we choose say something about us, especially when we don't use that many biblical terms. The fewer terms, if we only use one, well, why are you ignoring all the others? Let's use all of these great words, and especially the most common, that is the student, brother or sister, and holy person. What you may think of as disciple, brother, saint. But students, brothers and sisters, and holy persons. This is not an easy fix. Shifting into a different mode, trying to change the way we think and talk about ourselves and others, but let's not give up. Let's be patient. Whatever we call ourselves, whatever we choose, let it match. It needs to correspond with our lives. That's far more important than just terminology, though still we should strive to use biblical terminology. I hope this is a helpful podcast to you. Thanks for listening. Take care.